This is Queer Voices.
And this is J.D. Doyle. I've got a treat tonight. I'm bringing you an interview about a new musical, and I love musicals. This one is a dramatic one, though. It's called Bully, B-U-L-L-Y. It's a musical about a young man driven to suicide after being bullied in school, and the aftermath of how the town reacts to his death. So I've got a little bit of a spoiler there, but the creator is Aaron Alon, and I've got him and two of the actors from the show, Brad Gertz and Amanda Passanate. And Aaron, I read your bio on your site. It's kind of overwhelming. It seems like you do every genre of music, and it's just all over the place. And tell us just, for a moment about that.
Sure. I'm classically trained. I started as a classical composer. I trained at University of Chicago, Cleveland Institute of Music, and most recently at Rice University Shepherd School of Music, which is what brought me down to Houston. And in 2009, I got my doctorate, and there weren't many jobs to be had at the time, and I started to explore playwriting and started to train further on writing lyrics, and I followed my lifelong passion for plays and musicals and started writing more musical theater and got in touch with a number of the people in the Houston theater scene and just such an incredible body of talent here.
How many musicals have you produced or created or whatever word you want to use?
It's a little hard to say. I have some sort of experimental projects that never reach completion. The only one that has been seen all the way through to being produced here in Houston was a musical review titled Death the Musical, which the theater company I co-founded, Thunderclap Productions, we put that on. It was a comedic musical where, sort of like Saturday Night Live, where every sketch was comedic, some were musical, and everyone was somehow about death.
tied together nicely.
Thank you.
And you did a show on Oscar Wilde.
That's right. We did a test project on Oscar Wilde. We wrote a first act for it. I was collaborating at the time with somebody, and Joe Barnes, he and I wrote a first act. Thunderclap actually produced a reading of that, and both Brad and Amanda, who are with us today, were performers in that and just did outstanding work. That's how I really got to know their voices very well. So that's what made me want to work with them so much in this project.
Is that project going to come back to life? Or?
It is not.
Okay.
Yeah. no sooner than Oscar Wilde will. I don't
know. Okay. For this particular show, Bully, why did you pick bullying as the subject?
Well, shortly after I finished with Wilde, I was looking for new material to do, and I did what a lot of musical theater writers do at first, and I thought, what are some things that I could adapt that would be interesting? And I thought of lots of interesting ideas, but I really wanted to try something original, and I wanted to try writing lyrics myself. In my classical music, I've often been drawn to social topics that have really been of interest to me, things like child abuse. I wrote a solo flute piece on the bombings in Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and so I thought, what's a issue in the world right now that's important to me? And as a gay man myself, as someone who's been bullied, as someone who's seen a lot of bullying, and as a volunteer for many years at Hatch, I've seen what bullying does in our schools. So this was a topic that was just very close, very close to me. So,
your personal experience being bullied, how did that grow, and how did that influence this project?
Well, I've been subject to bullying both as a child and as an adult in different ways. I think we all encounter bullies now and then. I don't think I've met anyone out there who really has been totally unscathed in this regard. But for me personally, I mean, I dealt with it when I was young, not in particular for being gay. The young man in this story does deal with it he's suspected of being mm-hmm. gay. In school, of course, kids would throw around would throw around insults and things like that, and oftentimes they would be aimed at people's sexual orientations. But I don't think I was particularly singled out for that in school.
Brad, were you bullied in school?
I was, and I did get through most of my schooling relatively unscathed, but not totally, like Aaron had said. But around seventh grade, before my voice changed and I was not quite sounding masculine enough, I had a few people who were bullying me and calling me Brenda instead of Brad. I mean, they weren't very creative, obviously, but they did bully me a little bit. And then in high school, I was outed by somebody. And
in
high school. So that did cause a little bit of a stir, but luckily for me, that person was a grade ahead of me. So most of the people he told left a year before, so I got my senior year pretty free.
That was before the internet, I guess.
It's true. Yeah, that was in 95. It was just catching on.
I don't want to leave Amanda out. Were you bullied?
Like Brad, I was never really severely bullied. You know, kids are mean. Kids are mean to each other. I'm sure I was mean to some kids. There's a few moments where I made a decision to go with the crowd when I was growing up, and a few of those moments still haunt me on being on the other side of it. But of course, my big issue is my weight, always as an actress, something you always worry about. And I don't know if it's from this, but I remember being at a public pool and doing some diving with the diving team, and I had a couple of kids call me Shamu. So moments like that, they never leave you. And I'm sure we've all done it to other people.
All of us are misfits at one time for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a spoiler to say that the boy in the story, Sam, kills himself. How far into the production does that take place? Really, a third or a fourth?
It's about midway. So roughly the first half of the screenplay takes you up until his suicide. So you get to meet his parents and see the struggles in their marriage, and you meet the bullies, and you meet the parents of the bullies, so in the school counselor and the school principal. So you get to see a lot of things leading up into the suicide, and that's right around the midway. And then after that, it's just a ripple effect outward of seeing what happens from then on to all those around him and his community, and in his extended community in the larger world.
Well, you brought a piece we're going to play, and I'd like you to set it up. This happens to be sung in the production by Brad. It's called Did He Think? But tell us about that piece.
Sure. This happens fairly late in the musical, actually, and the young man who kills himself, Sam Bradley, his father, Mr. Bradley, played by Brad, it's really only now starting to sink in for him that he's lost his son, and not only that, but that he's also lost his marriage, because their marriage was so tenuous to begin with.
So fragile. Just,
so fragile, thank you. Yeah, and just hanging on by a thread, and really the suicide of their child was the
breaking point
for that. Yeah,
let's hear the song.
Everyone is crying, afraid to speak of death. His mother's hardly breathing, like she holds his final breath. Did he think about his mother, now never to be found? Did he know he'd kill another while he's resting underground? Did he think about this family? Were we doing all that bad? Did he even give a damn? He would destroy what chance we had. he never took to baseball. He's not at all. He wasn't at all like me. Maybe he's the boy who just wasn't meant to be. Can't we just erase all of these memories? Are bleak when they're all so fresh and wild. Still, what words did I speak when I last spoke to my child? Why are my memories faded when this has just begun? I guess I've masqueraded as a man who knew his son. I will never get to see who my boy turns out to be. And though perhaps he now is free, how could he do this?
That was Brad Gertz from the show Bully. Brad, was that your radio debut?
No, as a matter of fact, I've had a couple of others.
Oh, damn, I like to get those. This interview is a little different from what you might expect. It's not about a play coming to a theater near you. It's about a film. And Aaron, why did you take this approach rather than do it on the stage first and then maybe film? Or what was your thinking?
My hope was that it would be able to reach more people this way. I think bullying is just such a important contemporary topic, and I hope that if we're able to release it in movie theaters, serially on the internet, however we're able to get it out there, it's a good opportunity to do so. If you do it locally, it can take a really long time to spread if it does at all, and it's sort of a... It's not an untested approach, but it's a difficult approach to take, to go right to film. And if places would like to do it as a stage version afterwards, I'd certainly welcome that. But I'd love to have greater exposure for this message.
Was there a factor also as to the potential audience that, you know, some of the youth that needs to hear it probably wouldn't be going to a play? They wouldn't have a right to get to the play.
And... in some cases, I don't even know if their parents would want them to be exposed to something that deals with LGBT issues, that deals with suicide. They may think it's too advanced for them. But oftentimes, I think we don't give enough credit to young people, and I'm learning things now, like that. Young people are coming out. I think the average age for young people to come out right now is about 11 years old or so. I mean, it's just astonishing, you know, so brave. So to think that they wouldn't be ready for material like this, I think, is naive.
Well, their parents not ready.
Right, yes. Well, yes.
That's the truth.
Well said.
Do we get to see in the show the points of view of the bullies or the bullies' parents?
Absolutely. That's something that was very important to me, to try to show as many different points of view as possible. I think it's so easy for the press to just appear and for it to become a soundbite. The press are sort of a lump character in this, that they appear and they sort of become bullies themselves. But we see the bullies, we see the bullies' parents, we see the bullies' home lives before the suicide ever happens. We see the sorts of struggles that they have to deal with on a daily basis. I hope that we come to really sympathize with all of the characters and see them all as eminently human and not just caricatures of evil villains out to
not
destroy
cartoon
others.
Characters, right?
Exactly.
I was reading the synopsis in preparing this, and I thought, well, there's a lot of people involved here, and if he can make them all three-dimensional, wow, what an accomplishment.
Well, here's hoping.
And what I really appreciate about Aaron's portrayal of these families is that each of them is a different family dynamic, and so you get a different picture with each of these folks. Like with Amanda's character and my character, it's almost like we are so distant from our child, and we don't know exactly the right way to try to be close, and it just continues to fail. And another family dynamic where a father is maybe verbally, maybe even physically abusive with his child, and therefore produces this type of offspring. So it gives you a glimpse into their lives.
So Brad and Amanda, what have you learned so far in working on this show?
This is a different experience, of course, because right now we're working on recording the demos of the songs. So Brad and I both do a lot of stage work, so we're used to having time with the whole company to build relationships. And so it's been interesting for us to approach it this way. I'm sure we both read the script several times, and we've been listening a lot to the music. What strikes me about the script after, you know, especially what we were just talking about, is I feel like first of all, it's not about death, it's about life. It's about everyone's lives leading to this moment and what happens after. And what strikes me about it is there are pictures of every character, and no one's really the villain. It's a lot of people trying to do the best with what they were given. And I think that's what makes it even more heartbreaking and even more accessible, I think, to a really wide audience. That's what I've learned reading it, at least.
Brad?
Absolutely. I completely agree with what you said, and I will pick up on the fact that I love working with Aaron's music. It's been a pleasure to work with them each time I've gotten the chance.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you. Aaron, what have been the steps in the project? I know you're working on demo recordings right now, and then there'll be the film, and so when do you see the timetable?
Well, frankly, a lot of that depends on funding.
Funding. We've got to get to that.
I would say that's the biggest obstacle is, you know, we've had to fundraise every step of the way. Right now we're producing a demo with six songs and one instrumental prelude. And we're also producing one sample film just to sort of give people an idea of what they're going to see eventually. Even just raising the funds for that has been a challenge. And the idea of raising funds for a full independent film, especially at the level that we'd like to do this, is a stupendous challenge. I think if we can overcome that, we can overcome just about anything with this project.
About how much of the show is singing and how much is talking?
Oh,
it's not a sing-through musical, I don't think.
No. There's a significant amount of dialogue, and there are even moments in it that are musical, or that have. There's an opening scene in the locker rooms where there's no speaking and no singing at all, and in fact, the kid who gets bullied only gets one thing to say in the entire musical, one line spoken, and he doesn't sing at all.
He doesn't come back from above and comment on the goings on.
There's no reawakening of Mimi in this one. So,
I think I know your answer. What's the biggest challenge of the project?
I would still have to stick with funding. Yeah.
So how are you going to do that?
Well, we're hoping that these demo materials will get people interested in the project. We're hoping to use some combination of finding investors, applying for grants, micro donations of people who find this project and think it's worthwhile and compelling and donate what they can. And we also are planning on approaching a number of the organizations out there. There are so many great organizations who work against bullying, who work for LGBT rights.
Trevor Project
is a great example. Yeah, and we hope to approach them, and we hope that they'll be willing to partner with us a little in this project.
Are going to do like biting off nuggets, like we'll do a Kickstarter to finish the demos, then we're going to do this to do that.
Right. I mean, so the demos have just been fundraising through friends, family, our mailing list, things like that. The mailing list of our theater company, Thundercloud Productions, we've had some extremely generous donors, people giving what they can, and they've gotten us through the demo stage. So now it's just a question of where we can go from here.
Where can people find out more?
They can visit bullythemusical.com to learn about the musical. It's also at thunderclapproductions.com, which is the website for our theater company.
Thunderclap.
That's right.
Now, do you have other things going on at the same time, other shows and other stages? Not physical stages, but ever steps?
Right now I've been working on, I just finished a new classical piece. I'm sort of in the early stages of an opera that I'm partnered with Michael Remsen, who's a very talented composer and librettist. He and I are working together on that. And there are some other musical ideas that I'm toying around with. And I've put together a small group of writers, other musical theater composers and lyricists in the area, and we get together, have meetings, and tear each other's work to shreds in a very loving way.
Constructively.
Very constructively, yeah. And
well, again, we've been talking about Bully the Musical, and that is also the website.com. Our guests have been Aaron and Brad and Amanda, and I thank you for listening to Queer Voices.
The water's still, and yet the tide can swell. The air is hushed, but listens for the knell. The path is deep, but know it's worth the climb. And now is the time, and now is the time to raise your voice for the boy we never knew. Raise your voice for the man we'll never know. And now your voice will be strong and true. Will you use your voice? Will you raise it wherever you are?